We certainly do appreciate Stephen and Lindsay being with us tonight, and it's always a pleasure, a treat when Stephen is leading us in our song service. He does a wonderful job. It's so encouraging to see him develop as a young spiritual man taking part in our worship services. Well, tonight we are going to spend some time in the book of 1 John. We want to finish a few thoughts that we presented this morning in our lesson. Lord willing, next week we'll be spending more time in the book of 1 John. But before we actually pick up in our lesson, we do have a few words of encouragement to our young people, to two young men that will be graduating high school. I believe it's appropriate time to exhort these two young men, to encourage them from the Word of God. We just want to mention a few things, and then we'll transition into our study of the book of 1 John. As you know, tonight we're going to recognize these two men. We're going to honor them. We're going to have a fellowship meal afterwards, and we're certainly looking forward to that time being with them, encouraging them. But we do want to just mention a few things from God's Word this evening that can help them, and not only help them, these things that we mention can help all of us as we remember how important the Word of God is. As Brother Petrosky mentioned in his prayer, this is going to be a new chapter in their life, leaving home, going to school. And we all know with that there are going to be new challenges, there's going to be new temptations that these two young men will face. And we want to encourage them to always turn to God and to ask God for His help. I'm reminded of what we learned in Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? And the psalmist would go on to say, by taking heed unto thy word. To me, that is the best advice you can give anybody as they go through this life. You remember God. You remember His word. You remember how much God loves you. You continue to grow in an understanding of His word. And as you grow in an understanding of His word, you will find yourself drawing nearer and nearer to God. It's going to be challenging. But as we stop and think about life, life is challenging. But we have help. We have divine help. And if we will turn to God, lean upon Him, I assure you, God will help you as you go through this life. And so we want you to remember how important it is to be that spiritual person as you go through this life. Remember your God. Remember your Lord. Remember His Word. Remember that you have a church family that loves you and encourages you. I don't know about you, but when I see the young people in the congregation, it's such a source of encouragement for all of us. And we need to spend time encouraging our young people, to encourage them to make good choices, to do what is right, to be strong leaders in the Lord's church. Remember, the most important thing to remember in life is the spiritual. And we want to encourage you, as you depart from your home, as you go off to college, you seek the spiritual, and God will take care of you. With that said, I want us to now turn our attention to the book of 1 John. I want to encourage you to be reading this book. As I think about the New Testament, I believe the book of 1 John has provided me so much encouragement, helping me understand that blessed assurance that we all need as we go through this life. There's no question that life can be difficult. There are struggles that we all face in this life. Temptation is ever before us. There are times where we find ourselves falling short of God's glory. As we go through life, it seems like sin is something that is ever before us. It's something that we are always struggling with. God knows that. He understands that. And if we find ourselves being challenged in this area, I would encourage you to read, to study, to meditate upon God's Word. To really understand that fellowship that we have with the Father and with the Son. Knowing that that fellowship has been made possible because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross. Well, we're talking about how to maintain that fellowship. It's one thing to receive that fellowship, to have that fellowship, recognizing when that fellowship begins. But it's just important to grasp how to maintain that fellowship. And there are different ways that you can consider this thought of maintaining fellowship. What we're really talking about is being faithful unto death. Being faithful so that we can receive our reward, our crown, as we learn in Revelation 2 verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and you receive the crown of life. And we see in Revelation 4, in eternity, we'll take that crown and we'll throw it at the Father's feet to worship God for eternity. Something that we should strive to grasp in our minds as we go through this life. Understanding how important it is to maintain that fellowship. And as we think about that fellowship, as we pointed out from the very beginning, John reveals certain things that we can look at from God's Word that can help us understand what fellowship is, that can help us understand whether or not we are maintaining fellowship with God. We noticed a couple of things already from our study of chapter 1. In chapter 1, chapter 2 are powerful chapters. They really build upon one another. In chapter 1, the Apostle John talks about walking in the light. You see, if we're going to maintain fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. And the second thing John encourages us to do as we strive to maintain fellowship with God is to confess our sins. As you study 1 John 2 with me this morning, we notice from 1 John chapter 2, we notice that Jesus Christ is our Advocate. We notice that Jesus Christ is the propitiation of our sins. And I love the thought from chapter 1 building or going into chapter 2. As you stop and think about what God is encouraging us to do, He's encouraging us to have the right attitude towards sin, confessing our sins. And as you begin in chapter 1, we have the blood of Jesus Christ to atone for our sins. And then we get into chapter 2 and we learn that we have Jesus Christ as our advocate. In fact, when you put them together, we see that the blood of Jesus Christ, our advocate, cleanses us from sin. And that is why we can have fellowship. And so we see the blood of Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus Christ is our advocate. And then we notice that third word this morning. Jesus Christ is the propitiation of our sins. That's why God can forgive us. That's why we can be justified. In Romans 5 verse 9, a passage that we didn't mention this morning, a passage that just came to my mind that really fits this context. In Romans 5 verse number 9, we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we see that God is just, as we read from Romans 3, verses 24 through 25, God is just in declaring us righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that is such a wonderful truth to grasp, to understand how God looks upon us in Christ Jesus. If we have contacted the blood of Jesus Christ, again, we are justified. Remember what we said, when there's forgiveness, there is fellowship. There is justification. But have you ever stopped to think about what it means to be forgiven, what it means to be justified, and how God treats us. Well, as you think about the word justify, slow down a little bit when you say it, and you'll come to this conclusion. Just if I've never sinned. Think about it. Justify. Just if I've never sinned. You see, that's how God looks upon us when our sins are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And because of justification, we can have fellowship with God. And remember, that fellowship that we have with our God, it builds confidence. Remember what John is doing. You're going to see this throughout this epistle. John will mention a thought. He'll come back to it. He'll elaborate on it. He'll give us more information, more insight, so we'll grasp what is being said. And we see that in the first two chapters. John talks about walking in the light. John talks about our attitude of confessing our sins. And then he gives us more information there in chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, speaking about Jesus, who is our advocate, who is the propitiation of our sins. Now John is going to go back discussing what it means to walk in the light. In fact, tonight as we begin looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, we see that the Apostle John is going to develop some characteristics of what it means to walk in the light. Now, we've already mentioned what it means to walk in the light. It means to walk in harmony with the will of God. But notice how John is going to elaborate on this point. What it means to walk in the light. Well, as we begin in verse number 3, hereby we do know that we know Him. Notice that. Notice the word if again. It's something that we've already seen in chapter 1, verse number 6, verse number 7, verse number 8, verse number 9, verse number 10. And here, in verse number 3, if we keep His commandments. I want you to stop and think about what the Apostle John is saying. We can know. I forget how many times I counted them a long time ago, but I believe the word know is found some 32 times in this great epistle. And when you stop and think about that, that is a powerful point in rightly dividing the Word of God. If you see a word used that many times, that is a key word. And key words are important when you're looking at a context. It gives us an understanding. And really, it goes back to what we've been talking about. God wants us to know that we have fellowship with Him. He wants us to know that we have eternal life. And God says we can know that we know Him. Again, know Him. That is speaking of that fellowship, of that intimacy, that closeness that we have with our God. And God says, as my children, you can know that you have a relationship with me if you keep my commandments. Again, that's the first characteristic of what it means to walk in the light. If you're walking in the light, remember, we're talking about a lifestyle. And there's a difference between walking in the light and walking in darkness. Walking in the light means that we're striving to keep God's commandments. Walking in darkness means we're disobeying God. We have no regard for God. We have no regard for His Word. And so what we see in all of this, we're talking about an attitude. How do we know that we're maintaining fellowship with God? Here it is. We must have a heart of obedience. A heart of obedience to God. In fact, the Apostle John will continue on there in verse number 4. He that says, I know Him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It's not enough to just verbalize, I'm in fellowship, or I have fellowship with God. It's not just enough to say that I have a relationship with God. If you do, it will be obvious in the way that you live your life. You will walk in the light, and you will keep God's commandments. You're going to have a heart or an attitude of obedience. As we see in 1 Peter 1, verse number 14, we are described as God's obedient children. You know, when I read 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, this reminds me of what Jesus taught in Matthew 7, where he said, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, he that obeys my Father, that's the one that will go to heaven." And then Jesus is going to talk about building our house upon the Word of God, building our lives upon the rock. You see, everybody's building, but not everybody's building upon the rock. There are people that are building their lives upon the sand. And we know when a person builds their house upon the sand, it's going to fall, but not when you build your life upon the rock. What is the rock? It's building your life upon the Word of God. Allowing the Word of God to rule your life. Allowing God to direct your steps as you go through this life. If you have the attitude, the heart of obedience, you can know whether or not you have fellowship with God. And so you have 1 Peter 1 verse 14. You have that beautiful context of Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 and following. If you would turn over to the book of James, you're going to see the same thought that we're talking about throughout the New Testament. But turn over to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, listen to what James says in James chapter 4, verse number 7. James says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." You see how James 4, verse 7 and 8 fits into what we see in the book of 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2. What is James encouraging here in verse 7? "Submit yourselves therefore to God." He's encouraging obedience to God. In fact, in verse number 8, that is how we draw near to God. By the way, drawing near to God denotes fellowship. What is James talking about? Our fellowship with God. And you can have fellowship with God. You can draw near to God through obedience to God. If we're walking in the light, we can see from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we're going to have a heart of obedience. Jesus would say in Matthew 12, verse number 15, "For whosoever shall do the will of the Father, the same is my brother, the same is my mother, the same is my sister." What is the point that Jesus is making? Jesus is related to those who do the Father's will, a heart or an attitude of obedience. This is what God said to His people long ago, and it's still true today. In Deuteronomy 5, verse number 29, God says this, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would keep my commandments, that they would fear me and keep my commandments." If we're going to walk in the light, we have to respect God. We have to revere God. We have to have a respect for His Word. And we must strive to the best of our ability to be obedient as God's dear children. We can conclude from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, that fellowship demands obedience. In fact, if you would, turn over to the book of 2 John. In 2 John, beginning at verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. But listen to it. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Again, what is John talking about? He hath both the Father and the Son. He's talking about that fellowship. Remember, our fellowship, 1 John 1, is with the Father and with the Son. And we see here that John says that if we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we have the Father. We have the Son. We have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And so again, John is elaborating on what it means to walk in the light. It means to walk in harmony with the will of God. It means that we're God's obedient children. It means that we're going to do our very best to keep ourselves in the love of God. In fact, we will see that exhortation in Jude verse number 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. Jude, how do we do that? Jesus says in John 14 verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so when we strive to be God's obedient children, we're keeping ourselves in the love of God. We maintain that beautiful fellowship that we have with God. And so we're seeing these different characteristics of what it means to walk in the light. It means that we live according to God's commandments. It means that we keep His Word. We also see in verse number 4, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And then we see the third characteristic of what it means to walk in the light there in verse number 6. Look at verse number 6 with me. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If we're going to maintain fellowship with Christ, we must strive to exemplify Christ in our lives. You'll notice, though, how these go hand in hand. If we're walking in the light, we're going to exemplify Christ. For we learn in John 8, verse number 12, that Christ is the true light. And Jesus said that if we are in the light, we're going to walk. We're going to live as children of light. We're going to follow Christ in everything that we do. And so we see how all of these points really tie together. If we're walking in the light, we're going to keep God's Word. And if we're walking in the light, we're going to strive our very best to exemplify Christ in all that we do. We learn in 1 Peter 2, verse number 21, that we are to follow His example. In fact, Scripture says in Philippians 2, verse number 5, that we are to have the mind of Christ. Why is it that God wants us to think like Christ? Well, whatever in our heart, as you know, it's going to come out in our life. Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, if we're thinking like Christ, if we have the mind of Christ, then we will live like Christ. And if we live like Christ, you remember what the Father said to Jesus? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus pleased the Father in everything that He did. In John 8, verse 29, Jesus said, for I must do those things that please Him. And so when we follow the example of Christ, when we live like Christ, we'll please the Father. We'll maintain that fellowship. This is something that Jesus expressed, that He taught His disciples. And He illustrated this point when He washed His disciples' feet. He says, in fact, in John chapter 13, verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should follow my steps. Is Jesus saying that we are to literally wash one another's feet? I believe the point that Jesus is making is that if we're going to follow His example, we are going to learn to serve one another. Because we see how He served. In fact, Jesus says in Luke 22, verse 27, "For I am among you as he that serveth." When we strive to be like Christ, when we strive to serve others, when His teaching dwells in us, when it abides in us, we'll see that later on, even in 1 John chapter 2, we maintain fellowship with God. Really, if you wanted to just work your way through chapter 1 and chapter 2, leading up to chapter 2, verse number 5, we can see how to maintain fellowship with God. If we're going to maintain fellowship, notice these points and the lesson will be yours tonight. We must strive our very best to walk in the light. Number two, we must learn to confess our sins, having the right attitude towards sin. Number three, from chapter 2, we cannot live in sin. Remember, as the children of God, we are dead to sin. As Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, we are now servants of righteousness. And we also see from 1 John 2, we must live right. We must live according to God's commandments. And we must follow the example of Jesus Christ. As the Apostle John would later say in Revelation 14, verse 4, we're to follow the Lamb wheresoever He goeth. What about it tonight? Do you have fellowship with God? If you are a child of God, are you maintaining that fellowship with God? Remember what we said. Fellowship builds confidence. And as we go through this life, we need that assurance of eternal salvation. And when we have that assurance of eternal salvation, it helps us. It motivates us to live for God. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.